than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Well, the Ravens didn't mean to cause you any sorrow. They didn't mean to cause you any pain. But man, that Sunday game in the purple rain, that was just atrocious. What a game. We're forced to talk about it, unfortunately. We have to do it. Let's break it down. Joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm recovering. Speaking of overcast, how fitting. That rainstorm, I can't remember the last time I was at a Ravens game live and it rained that hard. I think it was – I don't know if it rained that hard last year during, like, what, the Niners game? I can't remember. Like, it was raining. There was a few rain games last year, but that was – just watching on TV, I'm like, ugh.
I think the Joe Flacco-led Ravens against the Bills week one 2 years ago was a pretty bad 2018. Rain game. Yeah.
That was bad. I mean, it was just bad all around. And then what's up with the Ravens, man?
So there's always been this thing ever since Lamar's been the guy here. And it's always been that he kind of chokes at prime time when he's under the lights, when he's up.
He didn't last year.
I mean, they beat the.
Right.
They
other than the playoff game, prime right. time was his time. He bought out, and all, we talked about that, right?
Yeah.
He bought out in prime time last year. I mean, really, pick one. Thursday night football, Monday night football, Sunday night football. It was an onslaught.
But that's always been the thing, whether you're listening to sports radio or just checking out social media. Everybody says, yeah, Lamar, he might not be the guy. He can't do anything in prime time. He can't win the big one. But this game, I don't think you can put it on Lamar's shoulders. There were breakdowns all over the place on this game, and there were injuries that they had to deal with, and you know, there's certain spots right now where, you know, that next man up mentality just isn't going to fly because there is no one else to come up. But I think, you know, the biggest thing that happened with this game was the defense really struggled against these Patriots. And with the loss of Calais Campbell, with no Jimmy Smith, and then Brandon Williams going out of the game, you know, the Ravens were kind of against the, you know, behind the eight ball here, and they just couldn't get it done with who was out there on the field, unfortunately. The defense is banged up, they're beat up, and it was definitely not the defense's night that night.
No, I mean, it was not. I mean, it was – very uncharacteristic of the Ravens. I mean, we get it. Both teams played in the slop. But, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here as well in this game. But just the defensive stats. I mean, I'm looking over, you know, some of the stats here. I mean, obviously, you know, you want the defense to really pick it up. They have been all year. They've been the number one unit, what, points allowed heading into the game. But when you're down – a Calais Campbell already, then in the game, Brandon Williams, that's glaring. And then we get it. You know, Marlon came back. We were relatively healthy on the front of the defense. But this one, I expected more. I expected a turnover. What happened to the turnovers in this game? You know, obviously, you know, the Ravens fell trapped to that. Lamar threw the pick. I don't recall any other time the ball was turned over other than that interception. Looking at the stats, yeah, it was 1-0 turnover. So Lamar right at the half threw that jump. You know, it was like you can call it a 50-50 ball, but it wasn't a 50-50 ball to Marquise. But he underthrew him, and the defensive back was right there to take it. So uncharacteristically, the defense did not force a turnover. They didn't do their infamous punch-out fumble, which is perfect weather for it, right? The ball slippery. Lamar and the Ravens, all around had a tough time handling that ball, including the center. So, dude, I mean, just focus on the defensive unit. It's glaring, especially who they play this coming Sunday. Damian Harris looked like Barry Sanders. I literally said it all night. I'm like, why does this guy look like Barry Sanders? They're running it, and as the stat showed, and I knew it was going to happen, is Cam Newton didn't have to barely throw it. They ran all over us. Maybe yeah. Clayce Campbell was the problem being missing. And then not only that, but you lose early. You lose Brandon Williams to an ankle injury, questionable return. So already you're down two big guys on the line. No wonder they had their way on the line. That was – and, you know, you bring up a good point. I don't know with this game. I was talking to somebody, right? Long ago, you know, what happened to the Ray Lewis-type linebackers? You know, the big, meaty, beastie guys. Like, no offense. I know Patrick Queen's an NFL linebacker. Me and you aren't. But, you know, obviously Ray Lewis was bigger. Like, these old-school linebackers were bigger. Like, why aren't these linebackers – like, these linebackers don't look big to me at all in this NFL day and age. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the game has changed with speed. You can call it whatever. But I just don't think, other than the Ravens secondary and the front, I don't think their linebacking core is very scary, and that could be an issue. I don't know. I mean, especially on that trick play, Patrick Queen was out in coverage. I'm like, you can't have that. You just can't have that at all.
Patrick Queen definitely showed that this is definitely his rookie year. He definitely got outplayed on Sunday. But I think this really shows how important Brandon Williams is to this defensive line. Without Brandon Williams there, they looked absolutely lost. And this was a very, very, very undisciplined team, unfortunately, on Sunday. They were giving away free yards. If you were following me on Twitter at all that night, I mean, I was getting so annoyed with how many dumb plays there were. I can't remember what Raven it was, but what are you doing when you're off the field and you throw your opponent down on the ground and just giving away yards? Very undisciplined, very dumb, and it was just a giveaway. Like, the Ravens beat themselves pretty much.
They did. They beat them again. They beat themselves. I mean, this game was there right for the taking. They just did too many uncharacteristic mistakes again. And, you know, they didn't get blown out by any stretch of the means. You know, they're right there. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, the one turnover, it took 3 points off the board, but in retrospect, didn't cost them the game as Lamar did against the Steelers. You know, the turnover, we get it. It took, you know, it could have been tied at 13, the momentum changed there, but at the same time, the stats are really weird when it comes to this game, because even though they felt like they were a bit, I mean, they were way behind, it was 23-10 at one point. But, you know, Lamar, I mean, compared to Newton, he doubled him up. You know, Lamar was 24-34 for 249 and 2 touchdowns. Yeah, he had the pick, but it is what it is. Newton had 3 of 17 for 118 in a touch, and we know Newton had 2 total touchdowns because he had the rushing touchdown. And really, if you really look at it, again, I don't know. But the glaring part was the rush defense. They led 100 yards to Harris, 121 yards to be exact. And then the trick play again, man. Time and time again, how often have we seen the New England Patriots do that to other teams, especially the Ravens? And already on Twitter, they were going crazy with the trick play when I was there in 2014 with the playoff game with that divisional game trick play. I'm like, did you have to bring that up? I was there. So the dark side hoodie guy is always good for one, but not only that, but it's just like this game was typical New England, right? And I don't know if you saw the tweet, one of the media members of ESPN, I think her name was Minka Kimes, she tweeted, you know, Bill Belichick's a witch because the rain stopped like after the game. And I'm like,
I saw that.
And I was like, what kind of New England voodoo? First off, you got the, it's a rainstorm, typical New England fashion. I don't know if you noticed it, but it seemed like the rain picked up as hard as it could when the Ravens were trying to get the ball back with a minute left.
Right.
You could barely see the field. And I'm like, it's like, what kind of voodoo do they got up there? Like, seriously, I mean, at that point I was laughing because I'm like, this is a joke, man. Like, really? Tough conditions. Both teams played in them. Very difficult. I would love to run that one back with clearer conditions, but it's football. It's outside. It is what it is. But where do you start? This one was really disappointing. It was a chance to go 7-2. Now they dropped from 5th to 7th seed. I don't know if you saw that, but this loss, the AFC stacked, my friend.
Yeah.
Have you seen the AFC lately?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many teams have at least 6? Dude, I mean, They get from, they're right now holding on to the seventh seed. Luckily, they made a seventh seed this year, and there's the years thereafter for the Ravens. Not they'd be out of playoffs right now as it stands, week 11. The Ravens at this point, man, we can break it down all we want, but I just care if they win the game. I don't care how they do it because wins are going to qualify you. If they lose more at a clip, I mean, they're 6-3. It's not a bad record in the NFL by any stretch. It means there's a lot of great teams out there that are 6-3, right? What's also glaring is it's just the way it's going. You know, they expected better. The concerns are there. I don't know if they're fixable. I mean, again, this receiving core in shambles. You know, they were 31st in passing, first in rushing heading into the game. Thank God Willie Snead stepped up. And I guess fans are wondering why Dez wasn't called up now. With a major casualty, again, we had Ronnie Stanley earlier this year. Poor Nick Boyle, man. Hate to see the guy go down. He's gruesome injury.
Oh my God. Like
now,
oh.
Now with that injury, I was actually curious because a lot of people were texting me during the game and were like, was that a broken leg? And then when I just heard it was a knee, questionable to or doubtful to return. And then Harbaugh came out Monday and said, oh, it's a knee, he's out for the year. And I'm like, so I haven't even seen the actual diagnosis yet of you. Like I haven't seen like what the actual injury is. Like, is it a torn whatever? But everybody kept seeing the replay and they thought it was a broken leg.
I mean, his leg definitely, it went in the wrong direction. I remember watching it live because I didn't want to see the replay because I thought his ankles buckled and then his knees bent the wrong direction. And I just was like, oh my God, like that's terrible. And like, I knew it was bad because the other Patriot players that were around him were immediately asking for the medical staff to get out on the field.
Right.
You could tell,
yeah,
like
they're waving for him.
Things were really bad, and of course now Nick Boyle out for the season, so that's also really unfortunate. Now, what year was it? Was it 2015 where you know it felt like the entire team was on injury reserve? It feels like we're kind of in that year again.
It was 2015.
Yeah, I mean this is really bad. This is rough, especially going forward with what this team's going to be able to do. Who knows? There's a lot of key players that are missing. Nick Boyle was huge for the locker room and also to just be on the field. And he was a huge part of this team. You know, he was one of the most important tight ends. And that's, I think him and Mark Andrews were one of the main reasons why they were okay with letting Hayden Hurst go to Atlanta. So it's really rough. We wish all our best to Nick Boyle for a speedy recovery, but it's looking more and more difficult to win games on this stretch here with so many players out.
Absolutely, man. I mean, again, we knew it was going to be a brutal November with this stretch run of 5-6 games right here coming into the later part of the year. And with the casualties, with the way the teams, we feel like they're not gelling right now. There's major issues all around. And I just feel that I'm going to stop short of saying the wheels are going to fall apart, but my finger's on the panic button and I'm just barely tapping it at this point. I'm kind of like, what is going on here? I really would like to see the Ravens get through this adversity, but this stretch run, man, I don't want to talk about games in a chunk right now because obviously we have to, you know, move on from New England. We have a rematch set up with Tennessee this Sunday, the identical records, so it's going to be an important game. But not only that, but Brandon, the way this team is right now, we could be 6-5 after Thanksgiving night easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's worrying me because you start 6-2. And I mean, you look at some of these starts in the NFL. I mean, not to compare us to the Chicago Bears, but not the Chicago Bears, man. They started 5-1. And look at them now. I believe they're 5-5.
Yeah.
They've lost four straight, including just Monday night to the Vikings. So, you know, things can turn quickly. What's happened this year is the Ravens have been good through getting through the losses and stacking 2-3 wins in a row before they lose another game. You know, if they lose these games in a hurry, you know, with AFC the way it is right now, the Ravens are not trending very well. They're trending downward. We have the Dolphins trending upward that are 3-0 in the last three games. They're 6-3, dude. Titans, even though they lost to the Colts and the Colts beat them, they're 6-3. Luckily, we have the tiebreaker on the Colts right now. We have the tiebreaker on Cleveland with one to play. They're 6-3. You know, Ravens, Colts, Raiders, Titans, Browns. Am I missing any? Dolphins, all 6-3. the Ravens right now just win at all costs. Right now it's do or die. I'm very concerned with this team right now. No one's stepping up to catch the ball. Again, like I said, thank God for Willie Snead. Right at this point, they need to bring Dez up full time. If they don't, I'll be shocked. That a lot of people were wondering online why he wasn't even called up this game because it was bad. And not only that, but it's just I don't want to harp on Hollywood Brown because we know what he is. We know what talent he can bring. But Lamar throwing that ball to him, and after what we've seen with DeAndre Hopkins did, I'm sure you saw the play. It was incredible, right? Probably right. The play of 2020, especially how that game ended with Bills going up. And with like less than a minute left, and they went down the field with the Hail Mary, you want to say it. When are the Ravens going to draft that viable? When I mean that viable wide receiver, I mean that guy, the 6'5" beast monster, go up and snag the ball. When are the Ravens going to get that Megatron? You know, Calvin Johns. When are they going to get Julio? And it was brought up on Twitter. I think I saved the tweet. I can't give credit to who it is because I don't know what it is where the tweet went. I'm just trying to dig for it. But anyway. Marquise Brown was drafted by the Ravens. A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf were drafted after him. I wanted the Ravens to get Metcalf in that draft in 2019. They didn't get him. They weren't looking at him, which, again, I just feel like the Ravens are that one big receiver away on this team. And I know what they did last year in 2019 with the same – and Eric DaCosta wants to build that track team. But I don't know. I don't know if this is – I don't know if it's just – I don't know. At this point, the Ravens are making me have lost words because after that Cleveland game in week one, I don't know what this team is. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know why they're not running. I mean, yeah, they're still running it efficiently. They're averaging well over 160 yards a game. I don't even know what their average is now based on what Sunday's stats were, but Ravens had 115 yards rushing, so their average is going to go down a little bit from Sunday. But in regards, there's a lot that went wrong on Sunday night. And again, the ball was sloppy, but even Harbaugh called it out. The Patriots played in the same conditions. So, you know, at that point, what do you do? I feel like the Ravens got to really kick in the gear, go back to the drawing board, look themselves in the mirror, say, who are you? Lamar even said he's ticked off, don't like losing. I don't know what's up. And me and you can sit here and try to figure it out, but to lose like that in another close game when you could have had them, it's a shame. That game slipped away. And then now it's magnified as this year goes on, moving into the later part of November, stretch run of football here in the season, going on week 11. I feel like right now every game's magnified even more, and it's a playoff atmosphere. I mean, they lose to the Titans. Titans will be 7-3. Ravens will be 6-4. And then you're playing Steelers, turning around on 4 days, going there. And they're right now 9-0, and they play the Jaguars, I think, on Sunday. So they could easily be 10-0. So they're the AFC North slipping array. They got 1 of 3 wild card spots. There's like 6 or 7 teams chomping at the bit for that wild card spot. The Ravens got to put it together. And now I don't care if they win pretty ugly. I don't care what they do. At this point, as a fan, as somebody who shares a podcast with you and breaks them down, not that we're paid professionals or anything, but at this point, I really don't care. I just want this team to win and get to the playoffs because I'm proud of it when my team makes the playoffs that I root for. I'm just like that. You know, I don't do this whole, I want the team to tank to get a better draft pick. It doesn't matter because draft picks are crapshoot. They're lotteries. It's all it is. It's a lottery ticket. Either you get lucky or you don't. And sometimes you trade picks. So I don't believe in that whole mantra. These stupid fans out there like, oh, suck for luck when the Colts did it. I mean, come on. I mean, you play hard, you qualify for the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, that's end rant, but I just feel like this team, I can't put a finger on it, man. That was just disappointing all around.
Well, let me ask you, you said just a couple minutes ago, they let this one slip away.
Literally.
Did they let this one slip away? Did they ever have a handle on this game? I mean,
they were up 7-0 and 10-7. I felt like they did, and they should have tied it at the end of the half. I felt like they did. I think what broke them was that trick play. I don't know. It just – the momentum changed.
They couldn't recover from that trick play.
It wasn't like they were down by – they were down 23-10, right?
Right.
The Willie Snead touchdown right at the end of the third brought them within 6 points. Okay. Even if you have two possessions and you somehow move Tucker into field goal range with those conditions and you kick two field goals, you're in overtime. I know the interception at the end of the first half took 3 points off the board, but even then, they had a chance. They had over a minute left, no timeouts. They could have still went down the field, but with the personnel we had, the conditions, and Lamar with not feeling comfortable, and we're not trusting him to throw it down the field and don't have that together right now, it was a recipe for disaster. Yet have the Ravens shown, other than the Colts game when they were trailing, they only were trailing 7-0 in that game. This is a different story. This point, they were down 10-plus points. They have yet to win under Lamar when they trail by 10-plus points. He's over. And that's the problem with this team. I don't think the game was – they let it slip away. It was the fact that they dug themselves a hole, let the trick play happen, and then they couldn't stop Harris with the combination of Cam running it with injuries on it. There's a lot of combination there for a recipe for disaster. I think if Clayus Campbell and Brandon Williams are healthy, they don't run 120 yards, and I think the dynamic of the game changes because, as you've seen, Cam wasn't efficient throwing it. We didn't intercept him, but Lamar was way better as a passer in those conditions. So that's a little sliver of positivity. If you want to take away, Lamar outplayed Cam Newton easily, statistically, and figured he outplayed him. You know, but obviously the Ravens didn't put enough points on the scoreboard. They did, but then you figured, you know, Cam was only part of one touchdown drive, and he ran it, rushed it in. A trick play did him, you know, and it was a trick play and a multiple 2 field goals cost them. But the Ravens only lost by 6. It feels like they lost by 30, but it's a one-score game. You know, they lost to the Steelers by 4 points. They got blown out and by the Chiefs. You look at the 3 losses, and even the Chiefs game, it was a one-score game twice. The Chiefs were held out scoreless up until that final drive in the fourth quarter where they said, we're done toying with you, it's enough, and the Chiefs went down and put it up by 14, and it was over. I mean, the Ravens were in 7 points with like 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter on that Monday Night Football game against the Chiefs, so until they scored it. So even though a 14-point loss sent like it was a 40-point loss, still – the Ravens lost 2 other games by 1 score, and if Lamar didn't throw 2 costly interceptions that led to 14 points, they had the Steelers. They outplayed the Steelers every, up and down the field, every statistic. Even Steeler fans till today were like, we should have 1 loss. I mean, they know that. That's why I can't wait till Thursday night on Thanksgiving, because I can't wait to see the matchup again. But this is why this team is so hard to figure out, because we know how they're playing. We know what they're just up and down. They're all over the place. We got injuries here. We got injuries there. But it's like, but there are slivers of positivity, but we don't know where they're going to go. And this is why it's so hard to really hone in on what they might do. I don't know. But this one hurt a little bit. This one did.
It did. And I mean, we're kind of giving specific people that we think need to be a little bit better. But we do have to bring up, I mean, Matt Skura, he has had a rough couple weeks. So, you know, we brought him up on the show in the past, and unfortunately, you know, he hasn't played really up to that center position that we would like. But that also doesn't mean that anyone should be giving him or his family any kind of harassment online. That seems really uncalled for. And yeah, I think the guy can play a little bit better, but I'm not about to harass his wife or family members for that, so don't do that. But Matt Skura does have to play better, and I think he even knows that. He addressed that on social media as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, there is no room for that. We've long seen social media have access to players that, you know, they tweet at them for not doing good in fantasy, or, you know, you're costing me money, or, you know, they're tweeting at teams because they didn't do something right. So it's just really unfortunate that's got to come to that. And obviously that those few fans who did that don't represent Ravens Nation as a whole. Yeah. And I saw that. I think it was put out there that I think, you know, they were opening it up to his charity for people to donate. And I think that was floating around there. So I don't know. I believe I shared that. So, but again, it's uncalled for. We know he's had 2 bad games in a row. Harassing players, families, players in general, unacceptable. Yeah. No room for that at all. I get it. You know, there's a lot of fans that scrutinize Lamar, scrutinize Harbaugh, scrutinize everybody, right? Everybody's under microscope, but they're professionals. We get to watch everything they do. We know how much money they make. I mean, we have access to that kind of stuff. But in regards to the threats into not only just to a player, but to take it to another level and bring their family into it, dude, that's disgusting. And I just say a prayer for that situation because, it's uncalled for. And I feel bad for the Skura family. I mean, but if you take it to the professional aspect, the dude's got to be sharp because Harbaugh did call him out.
Yeah.
Post-game pressure. He said the Patriots center had the same conditions. And not only that, but we were in sunny conditions indoors in Indianapolis and he was doing that. And I knew he had this cut on his hand, but then you turn around and then now they had some bad snaps to Lamar that the one was glaring that cost us the game because they were trying to drive to win the game by that. But then you have an Aaron on a 4th-and-1-2. And again, that play call was suspect in itself to a Mark Ingram coming back into the game. He was active and you have an Aaron 4th-and-1 wildcard snap that cost us the game there. That was another turnover on down. So there was crucial plays that it was kind of like that was the last straw. Like, come on, Matt. Like, that was just like, we have every right to get upset. And I think I replied to one of our listeners. Was it Mike Miller?
I think
so. If I say the name wrong, I do apologize. But I told him, you know, the disgust, the angst towards his family is uncalled for, but the frustrations are right. We can be frustrated with that because it ain't no different. Lamar throwing, you know, costing us the game with 4 turnovers against Steelers. Like, we can vent that. Like, come on, Lamar, play better. You suck. Like, we can vent that, but we're not going to go as far as threatening players and their livelihoods. That's just uncalled for. So, but we have to recognize that there has been bad center play for the last 2 weeks, and it can't go unnoticed.
Yeah.
Whether or no weather, it's happened 2 weeks in a row, and it's got to stop because it just can't. There's too much precious football to play right now, and they can't do that.
And we've got another important game coming up this Sunday up against the Tennessee Titans. And it's going to be another weird one. This has just been a weird year. We know that because of COVID, but the numbers are going up here in Maryland and there will be no fans on Sunday at this game. We're recording this on Tuesday. Our governor, Larry Hogan, just came on TV about an hour and a half ago and said that there would not be any fans for any sporting event, college or professional in Maryland until... You know, we don't know when, but at least for this Sunday, it's not happening. But it's going to be a weird game because a lot of people view this as a revenge game.
It's indefinitely, I think.
Until he announces it differently. So,
yeah, no, I think I saw it today. I think it was indefinitely, like no gatherings for outdoor sporting events in Maryland. So I think I was lucky enough to go to the one and only game this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming back.
I was happy I did because I knew that was probably going to happen. So, and I did put in the lottery for the tickets. Not sorry to mean to cut you off, but I kind of remember before the show hearing that. So if I butcher it, I do apologize wholeheartedly. You can yell at me for it, but I thought I read that on the TV screen. So, but carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. the mayor, Jack Young, I think it was the Sunday they played the Steelers, that very next day, that Monday, he said no one inside or outside can be anywhere that's, you know, more than 25 people. So I was like, all right, well, we got one game in, but now we hear it from the governor that because of these numbers going up considerably, that it's definitely not going to happen for Washington or Baltimore at this point.
Yeah, no fans rest of the year, as far as I understand. So a lot of teams went that. I mean, I think Philly, the Eagles did that on Sunday. Ravens followed suit on Monday. I got the email from the Ravens as a season ticket holder saying no go. I don't know. I have to check my email if there's another email for the Ravens there. But I was hoping to maybe get the lottery for Thursday Night Football, but it doesn't look like it's possible. But you're right. Going back to what you're saying, revenge game Sunday. Yeah.
And it's going to be a weird one because it's a revenge game and, you know, the fans would be there normally and would be cheering everybody on. Let's get that win back from January. Let's prove that we can beat this team, but no fans. So it's a revenge game, but it's only the professionals that are going to be there that are going to want that revenge. So
all right.
Does it mean the same? Like, I mean, you're not a professional football player. I'm not, but I would assume if you're playing professional football, you're a competitive person. You want that win back. You want to prove that you can beat a team like Tennessee, that January game was a fluke. So does it mean the same, even if there are fans or not fans there, that this is still a revenge game to this team?
Yeah, I mean, it's fans or no fans, this still means something. And not only that, but the magnitude of the AFC playoff races I mentioned and teased before. Both teams are 6-3. We knew what this game means. When the schedule came out in April, we circled it. Fans or no fans, we knew. We want this game revenge. Yeah, when they're coming back here to the infamous scene of the crime, this one's a big one. And the Titans and the Ravens are both coming off losses. I mean, the Titans had a great win and then followed it up with, and it's just kind of crazy how this year's been. I mean, the Ravens versus shut down the Colts in the second half. They turn around on 4 days and scored 21 unanswered points and pretty much they did. They blew out and dismantled and stopped Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, and A.J. Brown. Like, A.J. Brown from a fantasy team at 3 points. He had one catch for 27 yards. Three fantasy points. That's it. So they stopped A.J. Brown. Derrick Henry was a non-factor. And not only that, but their special teams led to a lot of blunders. You know, but there was a block punt for a touchdown, if I recall, or right. Something like that. And then they scored 21 answer points. There's turnovers. I mean, it was 17-13 Titans, and they scored another point. You know, the Colts scored three more touchdowns, and that was all she wrote. So that race got tighter because now both teams are tied atop at 6-3. Between the AFC South being at 6-3 and the NFC West, I mean, I don't want to get off rails, but there's some good divisions of football, and that makes it even tighter. And then when you magnify, the Ravens couldn't take care of business to go to 7-2 and really take a big step for the AFC playoff race and take a little step ahead. They fall even with the rest of the teams. There are some teams that are ascending. There's some teams that are in the middle of the pack, and the Ravens and Titans, you can certainly agree to a point that the Titans on paper are obviously the better team. They have the better talent. You know, you can go here or here, who's got the better position. I mean, I feel like we've obviously got the better quarterback because he's just athletic. He's talented in all directions. But my main concern is, as any and all, is, again, like watching the New England game and Damian Harris. How do we know what Derrick Henry brings. We know what he did last year. When we say last year, obviously earlier this year, January. How do you stop a Derrick Henry offense and himself when you have no Clayus Campbell and probably no Brandon Williams? Now, I heard earlier this week they're monitoring it. These players could be day-to-day. I've yet to hear in practice. It's Wednesday. Was it Tuesday? I don't know what day it is. Tuesday, right? Yeah. So yeah. I haven't really seen any update, but I just know the injury report came out yesterday. They said these guys couldn't have been day to day. They're going to monitor them. It's going to all come on stopping Derrick Henry and keeping A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill quiet. But you don't stop Derrick Henry, and they ever, again, they didn't stop Harris. What makes you believe they're going to stop Derrick Henry? They don't stop Derrick Henry, dude. They're going to get blown out of their own stadium. And we're going to be sitting here at 6-4 and banging our heads against the walls. Fans going, what is going on? And then you got to play the Steelers in 4 days. This is going to be a tough two games here in less than a week coming up. But you got to take care of business. I mean, if you can just split these two games, but I don't know, man. But the Titans, they pose problems on all sides of the ball. You know, they want to take it to us again. You know, Mike Vrabel is going to obviously get his guys up for it. They know what's at stake. But, you know, both teams have a bad taste in their mouth, and that's dangerous. They're both coming off losses the previous week to AFC opponents. Obviously, the Titans being their divisional opponent, the race got tighter. They're tied. You know, obviously, the Colts, you know, right on their heels with that. The Titans are going to come in here and know that they can probably move us around. You know, Mike Tomlin of the Steelers already said that, you know, we respect Lamar, but we don't fear him. Titans right. Ain't going to fear Lamar. The Titans ain't going to fear our defense because they know what Damian Harris did with our injuries. They're not going to fear any of that. They're not going to fear, okay, let's just sit back and let Lamar throw it, and they can kind of just put their feet up on their desk and see what happens because they've seen this before. And I feel like, I mean, all signs point, and I'm not going to be bashful about it. All signs point to a big Ravens L right here, and I'm not going to hold back. I would be actually surprised if they can pull this one out. It's just I'm just at that point. You know, these are I'm not going to stop short saying Titans aren't elite. They're the top teams, one of the top teams in AFC, and obviously they made it to the title game last year. But the elite team sits on Thursday night in the division. Steelers, and right now it's Steelers and Chiefs, pretty much elite, and you got to beat them. And obviously they haven't yet. Two of the three losses are against those two elite teams in the AFC. And there's a lot of big games this weekend. I mean, the Chiefs and the Raiders hook up on Sunday Night Football. You know, the Chiefs are 8-1, and the Raiders 6-3. So there's some hotly contested playoff races and divisional races, but none better right now than 1 o'clock on Sunday, man. Titans Ravens. I mean, I just lay that there for you. You stop Derrick Henry and figure that formula out, you might be able to pull this one off. But given that what just transpired, rain, no rain, Sunday night, with the injuries and what remains, what they're going to do with their personnel, I know that the Ravens are looking in to bring in Luke Wilson, former Seahawk. They've been talking about that. Obviously, I feel like they're going to probably call Dez up. They should call him up permanently because something's up. They need playmakers. They need somebody. Right now, the proverbial Raven ship has a leak in it, and they're about to hit the Titanic iceberg in front of them, and they better steer clear of it because if they hit that, they're going down quickly. So it's not looking good. What do you think, man? What do they got to do to get past the Titans?
You know, I think that the Ravens can get past the Titans. How they're going to do that, though, that really is the question. I don't know. This team is banged up right now. If there is no Calais Campbell, if there is no Brandon Williams, I don't know how the Ravens defend the run. I know that we're always a next man up mentality, but I don't know if you can replace those two guys. I don't know if anyone can step up and do what they have done already. So I don't know. And we haven't even touched on, you know, cornerback. I mean, that is a very, very slim pickings right now for the Ravens. We do have Marlon Humphrey there, but, you know, at the cornerback position, you've got a lot of practice squad talent that is going to be on that field. If the offense can really take control of this game and dictate like I wanted them to do against the Patriots, then yeah, I think that they can come away with a win. But it's going to be tight. It's going to be difficult. And stop giving away yards. This team needs to be more disciplined. The penalties need to stop because we're just giving away so many yards, and stop giving them a first down with a stupid penalty on third down or something like that. You know, they're giving everybody free chances here. The discipline on this team just has to be better. You know,
I'm looking at that too. The stats on the penalties, the Ravens had another 8 for 64 yards. So there you go. I mean, a lot of people have been echoing that, man. It's the discipline. I don't know what's up. It could be coaching. And not only that, but Harbaugh always gets his team out coached by Belichick every stinking Ravens-Patriots game, other than last year. Last year was an anomaly. They took it to him, smacked him right in the mouth. But again, the Ravens were humming last year. Last year was last year. You're right. Eight penalties for 64 yards. Another, like you said, free yards, 64 yards.
Just giving them away.
Just free yards. And then if you look at it, they can break this down. There's penalty first downs. Now, that went into the Patriots, Ravens' favor. Patriots had 4 penalty first downs to the Ravens' 1. So, no, I'm reading the stat wrong. My apologies. So it went the other way. So, of the Ravens' 8 penalties, 4 of them gave New England first downs. That's the way I'm reading it right now. So there's the problem. So not only that, but our penalties, whether they're correct calls or dumb calls or lapse of judgment on the Ravens players' part, they're prolonging drives for the other team, and that can't happen. I mean, free yards, you can't do it. You know, you can't. Luckily, I know the turnover at the end of the half, what the Ravens did, the one and only turnover in the game, it didn't translate to points, so I'll give that as a win. It took 3 points probably. I mean, they were on fringe. I say fringe Tucker range because of the conditions.
Right.
Because, I mean, what, it had to be like, what, a 58-yard field goal at that point? I mean, it would have been an almighty field goal if he'd have made that, which I'm confident Tucker would have. But at the same regard, you know, that could be another small win taken from last week to the Titans matchup is – the Ravens had that one turnover on Lamar, but it didn't translate to points off. It took points off the board for Ravens, didn't pretty much cost them the game because now we could say cost them the game if the Ravens had the ball at the end of the game like they did and they drove past midfield and then they had a shot at the end zone versus a kicking. They could have kicked it to go in overtime. So, but they didn't get that far. So it's a moot point. So really, I don't really care about the turnover. It is what it is. You know, he underthrew it and it happened. But the penalties, man, I don't know if it's a discipline thing with the coaching staff, but it's got to stop. I mean, I remember some of the penalties that happened. I mean, it's got to stop. It's just got to get sharper and stop playing sloppy football. Penalties and free yards never translate well when you're trying to accomplish a win in the NFL. Doesn't happen.
No, I mean, it's hard enough to get points here in the NFL, and you're just giving away free yards and making it easier on the other team. What are you doing? Come on. I mean, get your head in the game. It's you're making dumb mistakes. And like I said, I wish I remembered. I should have written it down. Which player threw the Patriots player when he was already on the sidelines down to the ground? What are you doing? Come on. Just that's just poor decision making. But we'll see what happens on Sunday. This is, you know, both teams are 6-3. The Tennessee Titans, they started off really strong and then they started to decline. Hopefully the Ravens can buck that trend and not start off strong and then decline like Tennessee. I think they're a little shell-shocked, to be honest, because you see that press conference like with Lamar on Sunday, and I don't think they were expecting to go to New England and lose. I think they expected an easy win, and it was not easy for them on Sunday. So hopefully the weather conditions are a little bit better, and we'll see what happens with the tight end position and see what the Ravens do next, because what they're doing right now to beat the big teams, to beat those scary teams you're going to see in January, if you get that far, they haven't been able to do it. So we'll see. But Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
I mean, yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, it's just – just looking back at it, man, how frustrating has it been?
It's been very frustrating.
It's been very frustrating. That's pretty much a summary of this year. I mean, it's 2020 par for the course, right? But it's just, again, they're 6-3. You got to have hope on the horizon. But pretty much unpacking it, it's do or die for the Titans game. So with that, I want to put a period on the end of everything and quote the Raven nevermore.
All right, guys, if you'd like to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at TimeGQ52.
Now, make sure you go over and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. And we're always sharing all kinds of cool clips about the Ravens or photos or anything. Just today, I shared a clip from Friday Night Lights. I said I'd rather discuss the episode that I shared there than that Sunday game.
Great clip.
I love that. Man, if I had a Coach Taylor in my high school, I may have actually played football. But Coach Taylor was one of a kind on that show. He was awesome. So go watch Friday Night Lights over the Thanksgiving break. So, guys, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Hey, and you can also do the new Twitter fleet. I don't know if you've seen that new feature on Twitter. It's like an Insta story.
Yet.
It's like an Insta story Snapchat that goes away in 24 hours, but it's on Twitter called a fleet.
Oh, so they're all doing that now.
Okay. Yeah.
Stories.
Yeah. So that's go make one of them about us. Be a part of The Call fleet. That's going to be a thing now. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you, my friend. And this year has been one for the ages. And not only that, but we get it. Ravens Nation has been frustrated on end. Week to week, we still feel like we can't figure things out. From week one, how Cleveland was, the Cleveland game, how it started, didn't miss a beat. Here we go. We're going to ball out. And then we're all sitting here every week shrugging our shoulders. What is going on? And, Brandon, I can't bring it up on the shows, obviously, but speaking of clips, I think the best clip, and I shared it, I don't know if I sent it to you on Sunday night, but I sent it to some of my friends. The best clip that can explain this year holistically and with the Ravens. Remember Stu, first hangover, in the car with the baby. What the bleep is going on?
Right.
Remember that 7 seconds of masterful. That sums it up. Where he just like flips out, like what's going on? Like I kept saying that Sunday night. I'm like literally sitting there, my buddy, and I'm like, what is up with this team? Like we're just looking at each other, like shaking our heads. Like at one point, I was laughing, and my buddy's like, stop laughing. I'm like, I can't, I can't help but laugh because I just can't. I'm just like, here we go. Like,
right.
They're going to lose. Like, telling you. And then I'm like, and then you had that urge. Okay, Snead got the touchdown. And pulled it within six, and you had the hope. And just the Ravens had so many obstacles. And this season, it just leaves you questioning everything. Like, what is going on? The Ravens, we just broke it down, me and Brandon. Got to take care of business on Sunday, M&T Bank Stadium. I mean, I don't know. I'm very frustrated, but they need to fly high, as high as they've ever been, if they really want to go to new heights this year and really build upon what happened last year, get the wild card. Steelers don't look like they're going to falter. They got to take it to the Titans. They got to play their game, get back to smash mouth football. You know, they got to do what they got to do. Just win the game at all costs. Ravens Titans is going to be the all important one in the AFC race. This one is going to – it's a playoff game. It's a playoff game mid-November.
Every single one is now.
Everyone, as we mentioned, every single one is. And here it is. It's all before us. Can they exact revenge on those Tennessee Titans? Both are coming off losses. Somebody's going to be hungrier for that win. Who is it going to be? Baltimore, are you ready? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.